The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Craig. Welcome to the show. Boy, what a week it has been. We're going to hit on this last game and more here on show 580. Can you believe it? 580 episodes of Raider Nation podcast. Dang. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have the postgame for the EAGLES. Wah, wah, wah. Yes.
Macaw!
They went down hard, but there are some lessons in this game that I definitely have to point out because they're disturbing. I'm telling you. And when I tell them, you're going to believe it and know it. And agree with it. I'm pretty sure. And the next episode in Washington Football Teamgate, or WFT is what they're calling it. That's what the abbreviation is, or the acronym, or whatever. I'm just going to go right for the WTF, using the same dev letters. Same means the same thing. So it's the WTF gate. From now on, here on Raider Nation Podcast, because this thing is not going away anytime soon. We'll hit on that, and the bone light should wrap up this show, folks. It is great to be 5-2 and to be in the Raider Nation. Let's hit on this beautiful game. It's almost perfect, actually. If it flies, it dies. I love it. The Eagles go down.
It's a brotherhood in the locker room, and come together and realize that, you know, no matter what happens on the outside, we control our own destiny.
We've gotten closer. We're more unified. Everyone just believes in one another.
We definitely gonna have a challenge this week. It's going to be fun to get after them, though. We just going to try to come in, do what we do, dominate, and hopefully win the game, and then come off that bye week and come off and try to finish the second half of the season strong.
Get ready as we rock off here in Las Vegas between the Raiders and the Philadelphia Eagles of the NFC East.
Everything you got, understood. Right here, right now.
Yes, sir.
On second down, Carr fires. Moreau! Touchdown! What a catch! They start from the 4-yard line, and this pass is caught. Brian Edwards.
Carr snaps it, runs complete.
Carr sets up the screen. Jacobs inside the 15. First down and more. Pushes the pile all the way down to the Eagles 8. Jacobs cuts to the outside, to the end zone, Josh Jacobs. Eagles go back to work from their 25, it's Gainwell, ball came out, Raiders recover. Speaking of great defense, they're turning it up. Oh, the Eagles, onside kick attempt to begin the second half, and it's recovered by the Raiders, Alec Ingold. Drake in the backfield, runs in motion, as Carr throws wide open, it's the tight end, Moreau, over 300 yards of offense. This is Drake, he's in, touchdown! Wide open, taking it inside the 10 is Brian Edwards. Now fourth and goal from the 1-yard line. As Carr throws for the end zone, touchdown!
Touchdown, Raiders! The NFL
Coach Olson, Derek Carr, and this Raider offense. The second down and goal for the Eagles.
Oh, what a play, Max Crosby.
Yes, it was number 98, Crosby breaking through.
Man, he just jumped over the offensive line to make that play. I haven't seen that in a while. That was a tremendous play by Max Crosby.
Third and goal. Hurts loses the football.
Oh, my goodness.
Raiders recover.
And how big was that play by Crosby?
He's been hit 12 times, sacked once. Got him, take it down for a second time. It's Ed Conkway putting an exclamation point on his big day.
And look who was the first person to go celebrate with him, Max Crosby, his partner in crime, and Ngakoue. My goodness, the motor hasn't stopped.
Let's go. Five wins. Just getting started. Let's go. Ready next to the house.
I got to tell you, in this game, the first possession by the Eagles was disturbing because they went right down the field, and it seemed like we were playing soft defense. I don't know why, but maybe they were just feeling their way out through the first quarter. But our defense was pretty porous, and they went right down the field and scored a touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, it's time for us to see what we got. And lo and behold, it was a beautiful exercise in offense by the Las Vegas Raiders, let me tell you. 442 net yards. Derek Carr, 31 for 34. That's near perfect for 323 yards, two TDs, and one interception. That was actually Carr's fault. He threw the ball behind and late, and that's what happens. You get interceptions when you throw the ball that way. Carr's not perfect, but he's pretty near perfect. And, you know, I think we can just put the Carr stuff to bed now. I mean, we've said this a few times, but, you know, he's a top-tier quarterback, especially now in year eight. He's pretty good, and we'll see how far we go with this young man, but he's pretty good. Kenyon Drake showed up big. You know, the other thing I thought in this game that was amazing was the screen pass. Where has it been? Where's it been? It hasn't been anywhere until Gruden left the sideline. And now we have the screenplay, and look at how crazy dangerous that is for other teams. That is definitely a weapon we're going to have to use and use often because it quells that defensive pass rush. It keeps them off Derek Carr's ass. And that's what we're trying to do here. Because with the offense, and let me just not even go any further, the defense was fierce. I mean, it was fierce. The defense just, well, Ngakoue was crazy. He had two sacks, four quarterback hits, five hurries, some crazy number. Matter of fact, he is the defensive player of the week from the entire league. AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Deservedly so, because he was relentless. And Max was relentless. And Denzel Perryman, where has this guy been? Our defense played incredibly strong. And if not for them, we would have lost. And in this contest, I'll tell you this, we didn't have penalties in the worst times, which we've had before. We had quite a few penalties, but they didn't kill us like they have in the past. And the defense taking the ball away. Two? I think we got two this time. Amazing. That's why we're winning. It's the defensive side of the ball, and the attention to the defense has definitely got this team rocking, which has then in turn turned on the offense and given them super wings to fly too, because the offense is doing nuts. We have a complete team for the first time in a very long time. And here is my only concern, and I kind of voiced this at the beginning of the show, is Greg Olsen. Okay, Greg Olsen And this is coming back from when we had him before and we kicked his butt out of here because of this kind of thing. I see it again. Here's what happens. Late in the third quarter, since we're ahead by two or three scores, he sits on the ball. Three running plays, we turn it over. Three and out again. He's trying to use the clock by using not only the offensive time, but he feels good enough about our defense to just throw those guys out there to hold these guys to burn up the clock. Well, I don't know about you guys, but to me, that's a shitty, stupid, and it's cost him his job before. I hope he learns a lesson now. But it just infuriates me why, when we have a lead going into the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, he will sit on the football literally tried to bleed the clock out in a whole quarter. This is his philosophy, and it blows. It is absolutely anti anything Raider I have ever known my whole life. If you have them on the ropes, then you just put the last nail in and blow them off the field. That's how you win a football game. You don't win a football game. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you can outlast in a tough opponent when it's really, really close and you got to use that last two or three minutes up. Yeah, that's when you want to sit on the football because we can win that way, but not every game. It's like they let them back into the game in the last quarter. I mean, the Eagles got a touchdown and didn't even score again until the fourth quarter when they scored 15 points. 15. That's because we were ahead in points going into the third quarter and we sat on the ball the whole fourth quarter. We didn't score. We scored a field goal. We should have kept scoring. Second quarter, 17 points. Third quarter, 13 points. In the fourth quarter, we got a field goal. But I think if we would have really pushed ourselves, we could have got another score, maybe 10 points, to make it 40, 43 to 22. That's the kind of wins I want. I don't want these. They are so bad. And it gives everybody a heart attack. Gives me a heart attack because we don't need to be playing that close to the line. We have a team right here that can blow people out, which is what we should do, Olsen.
Huh?
Not you, Randy, but him, the other guy. Greg. Anyway. Yeah, I'm worried about that more than anything else. And I hope somebody else in the coaching staff brings that up in a meeting soon. Because we cannot be letting the team back in the game, any team, to blow in 15 extra points in the fourth quarter. Listen, it's too close for me. Keep playing football on the offensive side and end the game that way. I would love to have Derek Carr and the victory kneel down way more than having the defense out there trying to save the game in the last 2 minutes. No, we don't need that. We've already won the game. Let's put it to bed. Let's knock the energy out of this other team so they don't feel like they're going to rise up and win. Ugh, Greg Olsen, man, this is what this guy does, and it just reminds me of this whole time here last time. I hope it's not the case. I hope the other coaches point this crap out because that's not okay for me. We got the W, but that's an ugly fourth quarter in my book. But this team is ticking on all cylinders, man. They're kicking ass in all phases. Everyone is playing out of their mind. The offensive line, the running game, the screen game. I mean, some of these passes... I mean, some of these passes are nuts. They're literally nuts. Some of these plays. Zay Jones, crazy catch. Just when we need it. I like this kid's style, too. I like the finger point, the first down and just dropped the ball. I love it. That was a great. Renfro was on fire. Foster Moreau picked it up. I knew he could. We all knew he could. I had no doubt that he would take the place of Wallard and be able to do it and be able to hold in there. Ingold, what a great play that was. 29-yard pass. That was a great play. Ruggs, Richard, Kenyon Drake, our offense was popping. And I mean popping. We were as a Mariota sighting. I mean, he ran for 4 yards, but he's getting in there. And I like to see him get in there. It's good that your second-string quarterback gets in there because I think that he could carry this if something happens, heaven forbid. But I think he could. I have great confidence as well. But Carr was on fire. 31 of 34, 323 yards. Get out. I mean, he was great. I don't know any other quarterback this week that played as well. Mahomes is a distant view away down the road in the back, in the rearview mirror to Derek Carr. You know, I don't want to get all giddy about their downfall, but I'm telling you, it's good to see. I mean, they're not going to play that way when they play us, for sure. But we have a, you can see that there's a chink in their armor, and it's time to get in there and take care of business. I cannot wait for that game. So we have the bye week, which is good. We can heal up some folks or some people that might come back from IR, which is great. I'd love to have Mullins back. Love to have all the guys back, for sure. But I don't know if we're going to get him back on the next Giants game, but we'll see. All depends on how guys progress. But our schedule, we go Giants, Chiefs, Bengals, and Cowboys. Now, before the season, I would have said, oh, the Bengals are going to be, you know, reasonably easy, and the Giants should be reasonably easy. But wait a minute. Let's stop the show. Everyone's playing better football. Giants are playing way better, out of their mind. The Bengals are not the Bungles of the past. They have emerged as a competitor in their division and a threat to everybody in it. So that's going to be a tough game. And then, of course, the Cowboys are, you know, blowing it up in the NFC. So we got some tough contests ahead. So we'll see how this team comes through. But so far, so good. If someone would have told me we're going to be 5-2 at this side, I'd have laughed. I'd have said, I pray. And look at where we are. And we look pretty damn good. So that's kind of the future here, looking forward. I'm going to do a show next week, of course. I do a pregame for the Giants. Yes, the New York Giants. We're going to hit on that then. But, yeah, that's just a look at where we're headed up the road here a little ways. It is brutal. I think the bye week came at a perfect time. And we can get some critical players healed up and ready for the push for the next 10 games. It's going to be brutal, but it could be seriously rewarding for this team the way we're playing now. And that is all I have to say about that. Okay, Randy, there's got to be some funky Washington Redskins song you can play for the beginning of this story.
Hail to the Redskins! Hail, victory! Praise on the warpath! Fight for all we see!
All right, so the WFT, which is kind of how it's being put in print, the Washington Football Team debacle or gate or whatever you want to say or call it, has just started to emerge as a boil on the skin of the NFL, I'm telling you. It's just the very beginning of a massive one. So just the very tip is starting to show up. and it looks pretty ugly already. Two cheerleaders went to the NFL's yearly meeting in New York and presented some demands because of the sexual harassment lawsuits they have against the WFT. I'm going to say WTF because that's how I think about this whole deal. WTF, baby. Really? So out of all this, Gruden gets fired. I'm going to keep going back to that because that's where all this bullshit came from in the first place, was this investigation. And Goodell is such a clown. He has to protect the 32 owners, so he has to protect also Dan Schneider, which the other owners are kind of trying to protect too, honestly, because their ass is on the line. They don't want anybody looking into their organizations or their business. Now, this is how crazy it's gotten so far. These girls, these cheerleaders, now, maybe we all had this fantasized, but this is the truth. They were doing photo shoots in the nude. At least their boobies were hanging out. And then they were told to escort these fat cat old business guys to these parties. Escort them. Please. Anybody else get any kind of feeling about that way that sounds? Escort these guys or else. Cheerleading is, as anybody knows, it is a, if you're not 110% in, then you're out. They kick your ass out. If you don't toe the line in any one of these organizations, because the cheerleaders are not NFL employees, the cheerleaders are team employees. The team are the one who employs them. So the Washington football team is on the line for all this money from these girls suing for all these reasons. I think that is horseshit. I think that if my daughter was a cheerleader and she was forced to go with some fat, smelly guy smoking cigars and escort him to a party or else, think about that for just a second. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, like I said. Goodell's trying to whitewash this down the road. When asked about the Gruden firing, he didn't even acknowledge it. He didn't even acknowledge the fact that that's where it came from. But it doesn't matter what Goodell says now because he's just a patsy for the ownership of the league. And this is a huge black eye, and it's going to get blacker because all the reporters across the sports media network are on it. They are on it because they don't want to be the last ones to the story. And the NFL is trying to run away as fast as they can, and they don't have enough money to do so. The owners are going to have to do something. I think Dan Snyder might lose his football team. And I think he might just be the guy that has to lose it because they've been jacked up since he got there. He's meddled in their organization to the point of they're the new Lions. I mean, the Washington football team, really? Seriously? Who would put that on their? I mean, come on. That ownership group or that guy himself has been a pain in the ass for the league since he got in, honestly. And they're trying to protect him because they have to protect their own kingdoms now. All these oligarchs of football have to protect their personal emails and their personal nasty photos of their cheerleaders. I'm not saying that that's the case, but it could very well be. So it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. I'm telling you, that's why I'm spending so much time on it, because it is truly amazing that out of this investigation of the WTF investigation, our coach in Las Vegas gets the axe. Someone has to explain that. And until that's explained, I'm going to keep talking about this because it's a necessary thing. It is so insane to me that you could submarine one of the franchises, Mark Davis, who's always really been at the little boys table of the ownership. He's not one of the inner circle guys, you know that. He's not a power player in the NFL. He's like at the little boys table. So, you know, we're going to do what we do to protect ourselves, and we'll just sacrifice the Raiders. We'll sacrifice their coaching, you know, because Gruden said some nasty things about Goodell and his brother. And he touched on all kinds of things, but man, that's the perfect time for Goodell to get rid of Gruden. And let's be real now. If you're going to represent all the teams and the Raiders are going to get screwed because you're going to leak some information, well, that's just not very fair now, is it? I don't think so. Not that I loved Gruden or I wanted him to stay or I was agreeing with his play calling. None of that shit is true because I didn't. I mean, I was hoping that Mark Davis would do something at the end of the year, maybe change coaching staff. But that's how I hoped it would go, not an axe to the throat of the organization four games in, really. The Chicago game, we should have won that game for sure. Thank you, Goodell and NFL, for that screwing. But thank goodness that our team is bouncing back. I think they see through this shit. I think they're smarter than that. I think the Raiders see this bunch of horse crap for what it is. And you know what? It's the same thing that Al used to do, and I'll bring it up right now. Al Davis, in this situation, not only would have sued the league, for sure, without a doubt, but he would have exposed this sham for what it was. It was a hatchet job. And Al Davis would have gone right to the floor, and I hope Gruden sues. I don't know if he will. I don't know if he can. And there might be some paper in there somewhere where he says he can't do anything, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, these girls aren't going to let it go. These cheerleaders are not going to let it go, and their attorneys aren't going to let it go. And I think Congress has, believe it or not, Congress has already won in the business. What the hell's going on over here with America's pastime, for sure? It is certainly of public interest. So the heat's on the NFL. Goodell looks like he's drowning. And they might just use him as a scapegoat. Who knows? That could be the end of Roger. That would hurt my feelings greatly. Not. Stay tuned, though. It's getting richer. It's getting crazier. And we're going to stay on top of this because it affected our organization more than any other in the entire league. And for me, that's some bullshit for sure. And that's what I'm calling it, and I'm saying it. WTF, bro. WTF all day. And that is all I have to say about that. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. All right, it's time for the Bone Line. 1-800-620-7181. 1-800-620-7181. Get on it. Give us your opinion. I know it's a crazy time, but damn. You got to have something to say. So get on the bone line. All right. Who was the first for this show? It's the Raider Educator from Ocala, Florida. Hey, man, I love that handle. What do you got for the nation, my good Raider brother?
Hey, Raider Greg, how's it going, man? Hey, this is, I guess, Raider Educator from Ocala, Florida. You don't have to post this online. I just want to tell you, man, excellent show. I've been listening to you for years. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I look forward to your podcast. They're amazing. All right, later.
Well, you know what? That's very cool, brother. I appreciate you sending those props out, especially this way. So Randy and I really appreciate it. Randy works his butt off to get this show right. I'm just a talking head, but he is the magic.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
He's the Disney behind our show for sure. And he's been doing it for a little bit. So thank you very much, brother. Props are awesome. And our next caller is Greater Chris from Scranton, PA. I love your take, bro, but I'm surprised. I'll tell you what. What's happening, man?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. How about those 5-2 Las Vegas Raiders? I like what I'm seeing. And to be honest, we keep playing as hard as we are and as tough as we are. No reason why this interim coach can't become our new coach. They are playing their asses off for this coaching staff. And everybody's just more relaxed, more confident, and I'm loving what I'm seeing. Going into the bye week, getting some injuries, hopefully healed up. And hopefully on the bye week we can find out where the hell KJ Wright's been, because he's been MIA. But, you know, I'm celebrating 5-2 living here in PA, going to work tomorrow, repping the silver and black, like I always do, but just a little brighter smile. And, yeah, Raider Nation, hell of a win. Let's go. I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball.
Yeah, 5-2 is good, but I thought, well, maybe you didn't see it, but I saw that conservative play calling out at the end of the game. That kind of pissed me off. I thought you'd bring it up, but maybe you'll bring it up next time. We'll see. Hopefully he'll learn his lesson, bro. Thank you for the call, man. And our next caller is Raider Trip, the RVA Raider. What's up, my brother?
Raider Nation, Raider Greg, Raider Randy. This is Trip, the RVA Raider, calling from Richmond, Virginia on Victory Monday. What a great game it was. 2 weeks in a row, we laid the smack down on teams. First 2 weeks of being coached by Rich the Don Bisaccia. Pretty nice to see that after everybody figured that we were down and out, had our two best games of the season right there. And headed into the bye, it's a pretty nice place to be, 5-2. So given everything that's happened this year, I'm feeling pretty good about where the season is. So obviously got to come back out of the bye strong, beat the hell out of the Giants the way we did the Donkeys and the Seagulls the past 2 weeks. Then we're going to have a couple of challenging games in front of us. I know that the Chiefs are looking a little weak, but we, of course, you know, we can never underestimate Mahomes there. So we're going to have to play tough against them, keep this momentum going if we can. Postseason's looking like a likelihood. So Raider Nation, keep the hope alive. This is Trip. I'm out.
Yeah, who would have thought 5-2 this year if you looked at the schedule? Before we saw our new defense, I was blown away. Well, I'm still blown away. 5-2, we're heading into the bye to get healed up to make a run for the playoffs. That's how I see it. And the Chiefs are going to be ready to play us. Matter of fact, it would be a storybook ending for them to rebound their season against the Raiders. I see that in a nightmare scenario that the Chiefs are on one leg and then they beat the Raiders and then win every game after that. I don't want nothing to do with that. Let's just beat their ass good twice and don't care what they do after that. We got to be ready for that game for sure and every game. But I truly feel, man, this season is driven by this bullshit that happened to Gruden and the NFL has it out for the team. And I think the players know it. And the only way to get back at the NFL, just like Al Davis used to do, is beat them and win. And win the Super Bowl regardless of what they do to you, how many penalties you have, whatever's going on that the NFL's throwing at you, you're taking it and you turn it into lemonade and you're kicking ass. That's what I think we should do, and I hope we continue to do so. All right, brother, great call. And our next caller is the QC Raider out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Raider fan in hostile territory. What's happening, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and Raider Nation. This is the QC Raider out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And honestly, the result of the game didn't surprise me overall. As we all know, you know, the good teams are supposed to take care of business against the bad ones, so to speak. And the Eagles are definitely a pretty bad team, if not for a couple of other wins against some other, you know, crappier teams early in the season. Once again, everything was on fire. Like Derek Carr was especially on fire. You know, I think he only missed like three passes for the game. One of them was an interception that was. You can argue that Derek should have thrown it behind Jalen Richard, but. You know, maybe Jalen shouldn't also have poked at it and, you know, cause it to slow down and make it an easy pick. But in any case, it just seemed like the offense overall was just willing themselves, at least throughout, you know, the first two or three quarters. They're willing. They were wanting to go down to the end zone almost at will. And big props to Foster Moreau for stepping up in wake of Darren Waller. And I hope that Darren Waller is able to come back after the bye. And by the way, this bye was very much needed. I guess for all of us, you know, injury-wise, recovering from the other drama and all that stuff. And I guess, yeah, I mean, that's all I really want to come in and call for is just the Don Bisaccia is doing his job. He's rallying his mafia, his troops, so to speak. And I'm really looking forward to him taking care of business against the other teams. And hopefully we don't have that drop off in December like we do, you know, the last two or three seasons. But in any case, we're just here to enjoy the win, celebrate with all of you, all of Raider Nation, and I guess see you guys after the bye. All right, QC Raider out. Thanks again for listening.
Yeah, it's nice to say that we can beat bad teams. And, you know, even, I don't even want to say that. Because, bro, you know as well as I do, as well as anybody else, the teams we should beat in the last few years, you're scratching your head because you're wondering what happened. Like, we should have beaten the Bears. That was a winnable game for sure. We didn't win. Why? There's a lot of reasons, but winnable games, I don't even believe that phrase, winnable game. No. We should, could, maybe. But, you know, there's a lot of teams this year that had winnable on their schedule. The Steelers sure thought they were going to beat us. I'm sure, I am positive that the Ravens were sure they were going to win this year against the Raiders. All those guys in the beginning thought they were going to come out and beat us. And look where we are. It's a great day to be a Raider fan, brother. And our next caller is the Prez. What is happening, my good president, brother?
Good morning, Raider Nation. Salute to Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and the Raider Nation. This is the Prez calling after a good victory yesterday. On to the statistics and the ballistics, shall we? Good game. We got in and we took care of business, which we should have done yesterday. Everybody is starting to see the light, feel good about the Raiders, which they should. The test comes on through later on. We are really starting to stride and we are starting to get back in order. It is good to see and see over and over again that the Raider Nation might just be on their way and is arriving. We have some key games that we definitely will test the truth of the matter when it gets down to that point. We got the Giants, though, but any given Sunday, we can't just count them out, though, but technically there should be a, you know, scrimmage, if you say, or a preview, or I still like just do what we want to do with them because they're not nobody, but they did beat Carolina, so any given Sunday. After that, the schedule gets a little interesting. Kansas City is not the media darlings. They're not the holier-than-thou team no more. They got the butt spanked, and, you know, but that's an AFC division rival, so we'll see what that happens, though. And speaking of which or whatnot, you know, boo-hoo-hoo. Okay, so they're hurt and blah, 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 and everything. How about giving us all kudos, which they never do? You know, we're sitting there seeing, like, short little clips. We beat the Eagles and stuff, and then they shoot, like, a little touchdown here and there. It's really sick of me how they just don't want to give us that dude, but that's how it is, and that's how it go. As a fan for over 30 years, I guess I should be used to it, though, but it just really baffles me. Anyway, Raider Nation, it's a good day. Hopefully everything will work out fine. This is the Prez. Raiders. Later.
I freaking love this call, bro. I love this call because it opened up a can of worms, man. I'm telling you. First of all, in this flicking game, I'm going to tell you, the announcers were giddy for the Eagles. They were like Eagle lovers. And every time the Eagles did anything, the first part of the game, when they looked like they were going to do something, they were all over them. I mean, it was disturbing to hear their, oh, wait, look at the Eagles this and the Eagles that. And I'm like, really? The whole game until they were in hand. So they couldn't say any more about the Eagles other than the poor Eagles and Hurts will be fine. And they're trying to pacify the Eagle fans. And we're winning. Get used to it, man. They've been doing this shit to the Raiders since I can remember. No props, no nothing. The poor Chiefs. Oh, Mahomes got hit. Oh, my gosh. Really? Who gives a shit? I don't care. I'm glad they're in a disarray. And the fact that we are 5-2 and no one is saying anything. Well, Colin Cowherd said something. He said something about us that was nice.
Derek Carr, in his final two games with Gruden, was 0-2, two TDs, two pick, 75 passer rating. Derek Carr's last two games without Gruden, he's the best quarterback in the league, 33 a game, 2-0, passer rating at 127. And it's interesting because Josh Jacobs, the running back, said last week, he said, without Gruden, there's less anxiety on the sideline. And you know, I mean, Gruden from those emails was not the most progressive, updated guy, obviously. But it is interesting when a coach has so much power and authority and is intense, and Gruden, I mean, his literally under intense, it's a picture of Gruden. He's an intense guy. It's interesting to watch the Raiders play. They're a loose football team. I don't want to overreact. It's only two games. But first of all, I've always been a fan of Derek Carr. I think he moves well. Reminds me a little of Joe Burrow and Tony Romo. Moves well, accurate, you know, can feather it over a linebacker, can throw it deep down the sideline, sees the entire field. I mean, he's a grown-up. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league. But I will say this, is that three coaches in the league, the most powerful coaches in the league, are Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Gruden. One contractually, two a legend, and three Pete Carroll runs Seattle, right? All three meddled a lot in personnel. All three drafts last 5-6 years, way more than average whiffs. So I think I always said this. I thought Gruden was gone for too long, and I thought he had way too much power. I do not think you want to give even Belichick too much power. I think you need a scouting department. Coach here, GM there, scouts do the job, and Belichick largely acknowledged this year that he had relinquished some of his personnel power back to the other side of the room. But it is interesting. Derek Carr, who's always been good, has been fantastic post-John Gruden. And, we talk about teams needing quarterbacks. Let me tell you something. That's a good job. I get Derek Carr. How often do you get a job in the NFL with a legitimate top 10 quarterback? Like Mike McCarthy got Dak. That's way better than average. So, I mean, like, Raiders have weapons, Derek Carr, new stadium, no state tax. You got good winter weather. You don't have to worry. You know, you can build your team to play modern offense. You don't have to worry about playing in snow. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, people said that the Jags job was finally attractive because of Trevor Lawrence. Well, the Raiders got a guy that's already great in the league. That's a job. That's a real job. Got the quarterback figured out. Everything else kind of finds its way.
There are a couple of guys that have said a couple things that are nice. But let me tell you, any other 5-2 team in the other divisions, they're all over it. Don't expect any kudos, bro. Not until we get to the playoffs. And even then, we've seen it before. The last time we went to the Super Bowl, we lost 4 games in a row in 2002. And they said we were dirt. Throw dirt on us. We're done. Everyone put the axe to our neck until we walked into the Super Bowl. That's what I'm talking about. I can't trip. Don't trip. You're the fan. I'm the fan. We know what's up. And our next caller is Raider Jim from the East Coast, where it's getting a little bit of winter time over there, just like it is here. What's up, bro?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Raider Jim out here on the gloomy East Coast, but it's not a gloomy Monday. It's a victory Monday. After the Raiders dominated the Eagles yesterday, two impressive all-around performances in a row. Can't remember the last time I saw a Raiders team win decisively 2 weeks in a row. So I'm excited. I'm happy. And I just have to, as we all, I'm sure, noted, Derek Carr's performance yesterday, historical. Only three quarterbacks in the history of the NFL completed 90% or better when they attempted 30 throws, and two of those times was Derek Carr. It's pretty amazing. The only other one to do it was Breeze. And very little is said about it in the national media, but I don't know why I'm surprised. But the team looked really good, even with Waller out, even with an early exit from Jacobs. Hopefully both of them will recover quick. The team looked good. The defense, you know, they're struggling still in the run game, but they're playing tough, and they're attacking the football, and they're keeping the pressure on the quarterback. So if we can keep that up, you know, we can have a winning season. So try not to get too excited here, because I remember the last 2 years when we started off 6-3 and ended up faltering down the stretch. So I'm hoping that's not going to be the case. But for now, hey, as the rest of the Raider Nation, I'm sure, is happy to go into the bye week 5-2. So how about them Raiders? Just win, baby. God bless, brother. Hopefully we will be celebrating in 2 weeks another victory. Go Raiders.
I love your call, man, because it's very much Raider-esque. It's the Raider fan rolled up into a ball. You know how we are. Games we should win, we don't win. That whole thing, I've already gone over that. But they paid very well. Derek Carr was a super, superhero. I think we should put that to bed, even though he could have a bad game. But it's a team game, and our team is playing so strong right now. It's really hard for me to see us go backwards. But like you said, man, every time we get to this point in the year, last 2 years, we kind of crumble down. I don't see it. I don't see it for a lot of reasons, but I don't see it because we have a bye at the perfect time. It's a perfect time. We don't have a bye week before we play the Chiefs or the Broncos, you know, or the Chargers. We have a bye week before we play the Giants, which are still a good football team, but we don't have to leap right back into the heat of the fire. We can warm up just a bit before we start the stretch. And I think that's amazing. The bye week came perfect because some of our best players are hurt, and everybody could use a little boo-boo care right now, honestly. Perfect time for it. I think we're heading into a possible playoff scenario. We've been talking about it since the beginning of the year. We had to see our defense, and now we see it. It's looking good for us, and I think this team will continue to play their ass off for this coach, the Don. I just love it. And our next caller is, he's a cheesehead Raider. You know him, you got to love him. He's from Wisconsin. What do you got for the Raider Nation, bro?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin. And could it be that John Gruden was actually bad for the Raiders, that he was holding the team back? Now, I know as a member of Raider Nation, we have our problems with BSPN, but somebody working for that organization wrote an article saying that John Gruden, if anybody differed from him, disagreed, didn't go with the plan, boom, out the door they would go. Well, now John Gruden is gone, and our offense is looking fantastic. Now, I have heard rumors that our offensive scheme is a three-headed dragon. It's Olsen, Cable, and yes, our star quarterback, Derek Carr, who is putting all the input on the plays and the scheme being set up for each team. Now, if you've looked at the last two games that Derek Carr has put up, man, he is putting up numbers where he could be a top five quarterback. Now, I know it's only been two games. I don't like to get ahead of us, but man, oh man, if we keep playing the offense like it is and our defense has time to rest and they can get at the quarterback like they have, ooh boy, oh boy.
Playoffs, yes. Playoffs, yes. We will be making the playoffs, and we might have a pretty good seat. So, good day to be a Raider fan. Of course, in my opinion, it's always a good day to be a Raider fan. And, of course, what makes it even better? Ha! Kansas City Chiefs lost again. They absolutely suck, and I'm glad to see that. And with saying that, Raider Nation, this is the Chief Head Raider, and I am out.
Great call, brother. Interesting take about Gruden's play calling, but you know, I'm going to tell you, Greg Olsen is no cherry on top of the ice cream cone, let me tell you. We just have to keep an eye on him and just remember what I say about his play calling too, because it's very much like Gruden's, but he manages the game a little different. I think I like the way he manages the game. I think it's a better way. I think Cable, I think as the Don is in there too, I hope that they all talk about this by stalling out too early in a game and not going for those points to just cut the neck off the dragon. Cut it off. Take their will to fight away and we can go home. Less bruises, less everything. That's my philosophy. And I say, Gruden, I was looking for a way for us to move on from him. Not this way, but I was hoping that there'd be something else that happened. Because I didn't agree with the way he called games anyway. Like the three-run calls when you can't even get a yard on the first one. Those kind of downs were just too much for me to handle anymore. And I'm sure I'm not alone on that. The other thing was the dink and dunk. A lot of that was him. So let's just move on because he is gone, never to be seen here again. Let me just tell you that. Appreciate the call, my good brother. Last but never least, my good brother, Raul Oliveros. Super Raider fan. I love this guy. I love his family. Super guy. What's happening, my good brother?
Raider Nation, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, how's it going? Raul Oliveros here on a Victory Monday. Man, those feel really good. And I guess it took me a while to get over the Gruden resignation, which I'm sure a lot of people are still pissed about it. But guess what? A negative turned into a positive. Our team rallied around each other, got together as a team, started playing as a team, and started winning as a team. Big props to our interim head coach. He's doing a hell of a job. Just keep racking up them W's. And the bye week couldn't come at a better time. We got Waller hurt. We got Jacobs hurt. Just need to get them boys recovered and finish the second half of the season. We're 5-2. And I'm happy to say, at least for this week, we're alone at the top. First place, baby. First place. Looking forward to these upcoming games. And hopefully, we can make it to those playoffs. I'm Raul Oliveros, and I am out.
First of all, thank you for the call, my good brother. And yes, this team is playing like a machine. And I think it's playing like a machine for each other, like you say. Because I think that they're not stupid. And I think they see what's happened. It's like the NFL against us. It's like Al Davis, just back in the day. It's very familiar to this team. This is how it's been. This is how we do our very best, is when everyone's against us. I love to be the underdog, man, and that's who we are. Love the call, brother. Thank you so much. It is great to be a Raider fan. 5-2. What you gonna do? All right, Raider Nation, that is it for this edition of the Raider Nation podcast. Let us not forget that the Chiefs play the Giants, the New York Giants, on Monday Night Football. That leaves the Giants to be short on rest between the Raider game. They have a 6-day rest period. We got 14 days off. That is a great start for us against them. And the other thing I could say is, wouldn't it be sweet if the New York Giants beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh my gosh, what a season. I love it. Well, that is it, like I said, for this show, man. I'm feeling good. This Gruden thing's not going away, so we're going to talk about that for a long time till they open it up, and you know what I mean by that. And they probably don't want to, so it's not going away quick. We got a good goodbye. It's a great time to be a Raider fan. Wear your shit. Wear it everywhere. Be loud. Be proud. But be good humans. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.